We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store.
Hi, I'm going to be on the road for a little bit. July 6th through 8th, I'll be at Comedy Works downtown in Denver, Colorado. September 15th, I'll be at River City Casino in St. Louis, Missouri. September 16th, the Pantages Theater in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then September 29th, I'll be at the Newmark Theater, Portland. And then September 30th, I'll be at the casino in Washington. I don't want to mess up the name, but you can see it on my website, NicoleBuyerWasTaken.com, and that's where you can get tickets. Okay, November 4th, I'm at a theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm at another casino on November 9th in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. And then November 11th, oh baby, I'm going to be at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. And you can get your tickets at NicoleBuyerWasTaken.com. Woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah! Episode of Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, is exploring love and relationships. It used to be why I was single, but listen, I've done the podcast for too long and can't figure it out. Okay, my guest today is a hilarious comedian, actor, and ex-Vine star who you know from American Vandal, House Party, and Snowfall. He stars in the new movie, The Blackening, now playing in theaters. I'm thrilled he's here in the studio with me today. It's Melvin Gregg. Hello.
That was amazing. I can't follow that up. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, this is our Juneteenth episode. It's not perfect. Juneteenth today.
It's not.
No, today is May 16th. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a month before Juneteenth.
Yeah.
How are you celebrating Juneteenth?
Going to the movies to see The Blackening.
There we go. Yeah. And that is called what? Promotion.
Promotion.
That's
it
very
is.
Good.
And it's also called The Truth.
Okay. Have you seen the movie?
I have, a few times.
How many times?
Two. Two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'm planning to see it like 3-4 more times before the actual release date. So
okay. Yeah. I love this. Just to make sure that your performance is like
That was the first time. But after that I could just sit back and enjoy it. And it's the type of movie where it's like you could rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is very rewatchable. But it's also great to see the different reactions from the audiences and see what they laugh at and, you know.
Okay. I do love that. So are you dating? Are you single? Are you married? Who's to say?
I'm engaged.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How did you meet your betrothed?
on a set, she was helping with wardrobe and I was doing a student film. I was an extra in a student film. Yeah.
Okay. So she's like fitting costumes and you were like, you fit me.
It was a student film, so it wasn't even a fitting. It was like, lay out the stuff you brought. All right, cool, that'll work. And yeah, that was it. And I was just kind of hypnotized the whole time.
And then how many years ago was that?
It was 2011.
I can't do math. Why would you? I'm not a mathematician. How long is that?
12 years.
That's a long time.
Is that right? Don't.
I don't know. I told you I'm not a mathematician nor a scientist. Okay. But 2011, that's like a nice good time. So when did you get engaged?
2 years ago.
Okay. That math I can do. Yeah. That's 2021.
Yeah, that was 2021. Yeah. So we didn't date as soon as we met. Mm-hmm. And when we did date, we would date and then, you know, take a break, date, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Find ourselves throughout the time because we were both young. We had to grow into the perfect place where we met in the middle. And we did that. And we had a kid. Uh-huh. We got engaged. And the reason we've been engaged for 2 years is because we got engaged on Mother's Day 2 years mm-hmm. ago. It's almost an anniversary. And then we were planning to have our second kid. And that November, so it would have been a lot to rush the wedding between mm-hmm. November and May. So we didn't. And then she was pregnant. So that had to happen. And then now she's, you know, we're getting back to a place of normalcy. You know, when my youngest son is 9 months and he's,
oh my God.
You know, moving around a little bit more.
How old is the oldest?
3. He turned 3 yesterday.
Aw. Okay. Yeah. So 2 kids. How do you find time for romance? No, I'm kidding. 2 kids is a lot. Like,
it is.
A 3-year-old and then a 9-month-old. Mm-hmm. Like, do you ever feel overwhelmed?
Yeah, a lot. My fiance is good with it. Like, mm-hmm. She'll calm me down. But yeah, I get overwhelmed easily. Not too much with the kids, but just like everything outside of the kids. And then mm-hmm. sometimes the kids would be like that little cherry on top or, you know, that hay that broke the wagon. But it's never bad. It's just I need a minute.
Fair. I was a nanny for a long time, and a lot of times I was like, I need a minute.
Yeah.
These are not my children, but like, I have to keep them alive and be nice to them. Mm-hmm. This one little white baby that I took care of, I loved him so much. I had him from like, I may have told this story before, I don't know, but I had him from like birth to about 2.5, and my favorite thing to do is take him to Whole Foods and then pretend to be on the phone and be like, I don't know why we adopted a white baby. Nobody thinks he's mine. And then all of a sudden people would like smile at me. To like try to make me feel better about my situation that I have made up. And then I would like leave the Whole Foods and be like, that was so funny, wasn't it? And he was a baby, so he didn't answer me. But you have to find the fun with the child. At least that's what I think.
I guess. If that was my child, I would have been a little off put, like, you know.
How would you know?
If I heard about it, like, through the grapevine, like, yo, I seen your nanny in the store and she was tripping out over adopting a white baby. And, you know, I would have been like, what the? Yeah.
Friends didn't know me. It was never.
They might have recognized the kid. Is that Connor? Who's the black lady he's with?
You gotta pull the little thing down so they can't see. They only see the little feet.
Oh, got you. The little white feet.
Uh huh. The little toes popping out. So, do you think you're gonna have like more kids? Is that too personal?
No, I'm done. I'm done. Yeah.
Two and done.
Two's a lot. Yeah.
Okay. So, who asked who out? When you started dating your fiancé?
It was me.
Okay.
It was me.
Yeah. And how did you do it?
So I took a approach that I didn't typically take at the time. I took the nice route. I was like, hey, would you want to go out for coffee? I didn't drink coffee. It was just seemed like I was new to LA. I had just moved here from Virginia. It sounded like an LA type thing to do.
Uh-huh.
And she said, you know, I'm sorry, but I have a boyfriend. I was like, oh, cool. I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just left it there. But then I tap in, you know, every month or so, a couple months, you know, to check on how she's doing and, you know, see how things were going.
Okay. So then she finally said, I'll get coffee with you?
Nah, I don't think we did coffee. I think I reached out to her and mm-hmm. was like, so I was doing like promo modeling stuff at the time where mm-hmm. it's not modeling at all. You're just an extra person for a greater cause, like either walking around handing out Sprite samples or. So this one particular job, it was for Nivea's PDA day.
Okay.
So they had a thing at the Grove where it was like set up for couples to just have different events, different mm-hmm. things to do. And Neo was performing. And they wanted to hire people to pose as couples. So they had the people posing as couples, uh-huh. I guess, kind of get the thing going. And then they also hire people to, like, hand out stuff. And I hit her, and I was like, yo, if you want to do this job, we could hand out stuff, or we could pretend to be a couple, and we just hang out the whole day, and you uh-huh. pay. She was like, oh, cool, I'll do that. So, Yeah, that was our first time hanging out.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, it was
so
kind of like a cheat code.
Let's hang out all day and pretend to be a couple.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally fake it till you make it to the fucking extreme. That's fucking wild. What a treat. I would love if someone was like, just pretend to be a couple with me and be like, okay.
Yeah, it's part of the reason I feel like I opened myself up to like really fall for it because I never like held hands and I wasn't a PDA affectionate type guy. So I kind of had to do it because it was my job. It was like acting. So it kind of just opened me up to be affectionate in a sense. And
that's fucking wild. I wish that was available for every person. Just right. Like a first date. Like you just have to pretend to be a couple and see if you like it. And then you liked it. So
it might be a business there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Nicole's couple date. I don't fucking know. So then from then on, was it like you guys were just like, let's do this?
No, it wasn't.
This woman really made you work.
Yeah,
love her.
She made me work. I think I needed it, though, because if I didn't have to work for it, I don't think I would have been as enthralled as I was.
Maybe I need to be interviewing her, because I don't know how to make people work for anything. The minute someone shows interest in me, I'm like, okay, I'm yours forever. And I think I got to bring some mystery or, like, I don't know, make people make an effort.
Yeah.
So did you
ever... She said it wasn't intentional, though.
She said it wasn't intentional?
Nah, I was the rebound. So she had other things occupying her mind. So it was kind of easier to push me off. Yeah.
So I have to get into a relationship. Break up with that person.
Like catch 22.
Get a rebound. So I'm like, oh my God, I can't even right now.
Yeah.
Well, how do I get into the relationship to be like, I can't even right now?
You know what? Just get into the relationship. If it works out, boom, you got it. If it doesn't, then you got a backup plan.
Melvin, do you have any friends? Do you have any single friends?
I'm getting to the point in my life where all my single friends, I have a few.
Okay.
A lot of my friends are getting engaged and getting in relationships. Yeah, I think I'm getting to that age and those are the people I'm attracting.
Yeah, same. Most of my friends are married with kids and it's devastating.
You want to get good company. You're going to attract that energy.
It's pretty, I don't think I'm attracting the energy of any single people.
It'll happen. You got to be patient.
That's what people keep saying, and I don't want to be patient anymore. I want to get dicked down. Melvin, I'm horny today.
You don't have to find a boyfriend to get dicked down.
I know.
It's like apples and oranges.
Well, here's the thing. The apples are just getting dicked down by any old person. I've been there. I've done that.
You're tired of being an apple.
I want to be an orange.
Yeah, I got you. It's just gotta be patient. Because you don't wanna rush, you know what I mean? You don't wanna be an apple that put on an orange peel and pretend to be an orange, but then it doesn't last because as soon as somebody bite into that orange or peel back the peeling, they see, this is an apple.
This is an apple. I don't fucking want this.
Yeah, I don't want this fucking
apple.
Why
did Gelson's do this?
Yeah.
You know, I wanna be an orange or someone peels me back and they go, oh.
Oh, yeah, it's like a nice little citrus. Nice. Juicy orange. You peel back each little layer, and
Melvin, that's what I want. It sucks. So wait, have you ever done apps?
Apps? Nah.
You've never done the apps?
I guess I've done Instagram.
Instagram is what? So you slide into people's DMs and shit?
At one point. So I was Instagram famous early, so I kind of had an advantage. You know, I had like 1 million followers and I was verified in like 2015-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like I don't know what the term would be on Tinder, but it was kind of like a check. Like, you know what I mean? It made it a little easier for me.
So were you sliding into DMs and were people sliding into your DMs?
Both.
Boy, oh boy. It sounds like you've had it easy.
Nah, you know, that was, you know, I went through whole decades before there was Instagram. So,
when was your first relationship?
The one that I'm in now.
That's your very first one?
Yeah.
You didn't date nobody in high school or whatever?
Mm-mm.
Really?
I guess date is kind of relative. That was my first commitment relationship where I'm like, yo, I'm your boyfriend. You're my girlfriend. I love you. Like, I never did any of that stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Anything else was just... Yeah.
Man, I've never been in like a committed relationship where like someone was like, I love you and I believed them. And that's devastating. It's so sad.
Well, once you have it, you'll know it's real because you know what to compare it to.
Melvin, you're right.
You're in a great place. It's all perspective.
It is all perspective. So when you were single and like younger or whatever, would you consider yourself a player?
I wouldn't consider myself a player because I feel like a player is kind of, it's like you're lying to somebody. You're kind of misleading people in a way. I wouldn't say misleading, but can't think of the word I'm trying to think of, but I wasn't deceiving anyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
having a nice time.
I was having a nice time, but everybody who I was, you know, having a nice time with knew what the situation was. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the type to like tell you I love you or, you know, talk about the stars and my ambitions and ask you about yours if I didn't have intentions. You know what I mean? Excuse me. If I didn't have intentions of taking it to that place, you know? I didn't put on an orange peel and pretend I was an orange when I was really an apple.
I like that. I think that's interesting. Like, I don't really talk about the future or, like, intentions with people unless I'm like, oh, I think something might be a brewing here.
Right.
But every time it a brewing, the men go, I don't like you. Anyway, so Melvin, some of the odd jobs that you had in L.A. when you first moved here was you worked at Victoria's Secret, passed out drinks in front of 7-Eleven, and then some scams. The last one is what I'm the most interested in. Melvin, what scams you be running?
Nah, it wasn't really a scam. And the guy who I worked for happened to be my realtor who got me my production studio when I had it and also the house that I live in now. He became a realtor. But so basically it was like a hair salon promotion, right?
Okay.
So we would go to different campuses and we will find the most, I don't want to say vulnerable, but we had a target demo of like young, I don't want to say young girls, it sounds bad, like freshmen, freshmen.
Yes.
With new credit cards or whatever the situation would be. But everything was consensual. So we will find them and we'll be like, hey, we're here representing this company and we're looking for 10 models to be models for all of these different high-end, you know, Beverly Hills hair salons. And we'll have a list of all of the hair salons. Mm-hmm. It was like, with this promotion, you'll basically be, you know, walking advertisement for these salons and what they would do for you. You can get this, you can get these highlights, lowlights, scalp massages, trims, colors, all of this stuff for your hair for $99. $99, and you don't even have to pay it up front. You just pay 5 increments of $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you sign up, be $20 a month, but you can get all of these things that's valued, you know, up to, you know, $5,000,
$10,000.
Okay. So they'll be like, oh, that's tight. So basically what they would do, they'll sign up. This was so long ago that we had to like, they had the carbon paper. So you'll have to like put the card under it
and then
and scrape it to get the card information, get them to sign up. And, you know, they just charge them $20 a month. But the thing was, the catch was, it wasn't a scam, but the catch was after the 5 months, it will continue to bill you. You know what I mean? So, and a lot of like researchers show that a lot of charges under a certain amount, people forget about them. I know I do. So that $20 a month will just continue to bill until they realize it. So you pay way more than that. And a lot of the salons on the actual, the little packet thing, didn't even know about the whole promotion thing. And I didn't know about this until the girls would tell me like, oh, I signed up before and this salon knew nothing about it. And I just be like,
you'd be like, I just work here.
I'm not sure. You know, you can call and, you know, before you even do this. And my whole thing was like, you know, if you regret it later, you can call and unsubscribe. Like, I was never misleading. You know, that's kind of my pattern. I never mislead, but I'm giving you the information. So it wasn't technically a scam. It just wasn't
as legit as you'd like it to be.
Yeah. But I was just an employee at a company, so.
I mean, that's just LA Fitness. LA Fitness has been charging me
same thing
for years.
Regardless if you go or not.
And I just realized
it. They tell you about the classes that you could go to. The instructor might not even show up or it might not be what they misled. So, you know, I guess it's life.
Savage Fenty is like that. You pay like $50 a month and you get half off leggings and you forget that you're subscribed to it.
You forget that you get half off.
Same thing with Fabletics. Scam, 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 scam. A scam I ran was I would steal things from Nordstrom and then return it and they had a cash back policy whether you had a receipt or not. So I would get cash from Nordstrom's.
Wow. So you was like a booster, but you would just take it back to the...
Mm-hmm. They don't do that anymore.
I bet they don't.
They got hip to it. Yeah. They said, we can't possibly. And I was like, you sure?
Yeah.
That's how I'm getting money.
That's smart. You know, where I grew up, it's be boosters come to our door, like, you know, what y'all need? And then they'll bring it to us in a trash bag. Yeah, that's how we did school shopping.
That's nice.
From the boosters.
I mean, the best part is they come to you.
Yeah.
You don't have to seek them out.
Yeah, sometimes they'll want to ride to the store, though, so, like, that's not convenient. Yo, can you drop me off?
Yeah, I'll rob you some shit, but can you take me to the store?
Yeah, they want you to be the getaway driver.
Wait, you're from Portsmouth, Virginia?
Yeah, you pronounced it right.
Portsmouth
is more like Portsmouth.
Portsmouth.
Like an IFF at the end.
What was it like there? Where is that, near D.C.?
Nah, it's at the bottom of the Virginia. It's like the bottom.
I have no idea
Eastern
where anything
coast.
Is.
I'm not good at geography either. We got maps though, so it don't really matter.
We do have maps.
It was good. It's like it's all I knew. I lived in the projects like most of my life, but it don't get the bad. It's not as bad as people say because there's a sense of community. You know, what I mean? You live in the same building with, you know, 8 other families and 8 more families live in front of you, and it's a big community. You know, everybody look out for each other, and you know, you got fun summer nights with parents out on the porch, the kids playing kickball and curveball and all type of stuff.
That sounds nice.
And then nobody has money. Everybody's poor, so you don't realize you're poor. Everybody you go to school with is poor, so it's not like a comparison. So. It's not as bad. It has its tough times and, you know, all
I like
of that,
the idea of living with a bunch of people that you know. Kind of like a commune.
Yeah.
And then you have a nice time, barbecues and shit.
We ain't really have barbecues, really.
Okay. Fine, Melvin.
I don't think, like, grills were allowed. There's a lot of restrictions.
Wait, you're not allowed to have a fucking grill?
Nah. So when you live in a project, so these housing, it's not even Section 8, but these housings is paid for by the government. There's a lot of regulations. Like, at one point, we had patios. They broke the patios down because people were hiding them when they was running from the cops. And we had, like, poles that was, like, boundaries around every sidewalk. And they tore those down because people was running from cops. And they were more athletic than the cops. So the cops would get... they're running to the poles. But, people that was from there knew how to... We would jump the poles growing
Honestly,
up, so.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Just being more athletic.
It's not a hard thing. They got boots and belts and all of this tactical equipment.
So you went to acting school? No, you studied marketing at Old Dominion University for 2 years before you said, nyeh.
Those years are kind of, I'm not a mathematician. It wasn't 2 years. I would leave and go back and leave and go back.
They let you do that at college? I didn't go to real college.
Yeah, yeah. You'll just have to write a letter to let them know why you left and say you won't do it again. And yeah, the only thing is you could lose grants and scholarships, but it's a way to get those back too. But yeah, I would go to school more so for the refund checks. I was studying marketing because I didn't know
That's
what I wanted to do.
Scam. Going to school for the refund checks.
You know, America's a scam, you know.
America is a scam.
How we get here?
On a cruise that wasn't fun.
Yeah, they told us it was something it won't. I would go for refund checks. Study marketing because I felt like it could be applied to anything, and I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. And then I took an acting class, and I loved it. And I was like, cool.
Real quick.
Yeah.
We do have to take a break.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who, like, is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/date me. Okay. Hey,
Did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. Beep bop. We're back. Okay, I want to know. I want to know more about the acting class. Did you have like an epiphany in the class where you were just like, "Oh fuck, this is what I've been like, what I should be doing"? Like, how did it happen?
Yeah. So growing up, I never had a career goal. Like, I knew I wanted to be successful. I knew I wanted to be influential, and I wanted access to a lot. I felt like I would be this person. I didn't know how I would become this person. And then when I was acting, this is kind of just like manifestation, like blind manifestation, because it's not like I saw acting. It was like, oh, this is the answer to those things. It was just something I was, you know, attracted to that I felt like I was good at. Like everything else, I'm kind of mediocre. I'm all right. You know, I'm never the worst. I'm never the best. I'm cool in it. I'm cool at a lot of stuff. And then when I was taking the acting class, I felt like I was like the best one in the class. And I felt like there was a lot of room for me to get even better. It was kind of just like natural stuff. I didn't know what I was doing, but I felt comfortable doing it too. I didn't feel like uncomfortable, which I feel a lot because I, you know, kind of have social anxiety, not social anxiety in a sense, but we all have some sense of anxiety or self-consciousness. But as an actor, I didn't feel that way because I was being somebody else. And I just really enjoyed it. And people seemed to enjoy when it was my turn to, you know, perform in class. I was like, I like it. And it was the first time I was like, this is something I think I want to pursue.
I took an acting class, I think, I was still in high school, and, like, I had done a play, and I loved it, and I was like, ooh, this is for me. And I remember, I think I was, like, 16 or 17. Are you familiar with, like, any plays? Do you know, who wrote this? It's, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? George... whatever. Do you know that play? Anyway, there's
I took theater in college where I would have to learn all of this stuff and I would just cheat my way around it. And now I feel like I should have did the work, but...
Listen, you can still do the work. Plays exist in perpetuity. You can read them whenever. But it's a play where the matriarch is this, like, older, grizzled woman. And at, like, 16 or 17, they, like, had me do that part in, like, my acting class. And I was like, this is what I need to be doing. I'm an actor. I just like to hear people's, like, epiphanies about acting. Because I feel like it's very similar where you're like, oh, fuck, this is, like, what I'm good at.
Yeah, and I looked at it in hindsight, and I felt like everything that I enjoyed led to this moment or led to this profession. Like, I remember when I was like 12, my friend had like a sleepover and everybody was like dancing, but I was always insecure about dancing. But then we had masks for some reason. And when I put the mask on, it was like dance fever, you know what I mean? I had the confidence to do whatever. And then I remember I had this thing, it was called like a PlayStation eye toy. It was before the Wii. You plug it in, it's like a little camera and it has like 15 games in it, but it's one section where you're supposed to leave a message or whatever. And I remember hooking up my VCR to it. So in the message part, I could just record like little sketches, but you only got 30 seconds. And me and my sister and my cousin would do that like all summer. And I would have my friends over and just, like, do all these little sketches because it was just fun. Had a video camera when I was like 14 and I would like shoot my own little movies running around with my friends and just record everything. And again, it was just fun. I didn't see it as a goal. I didn't know an actor. I didn't know anybody who knew an actor. It was just something that I enjoyed doing. And yeah, when I look back at it, in hindsight, I'm like, wow, I was always kind of attracted to this. I just didn't know it at the time.
I love, do you still have the video footage from your youth?
Yeah, I have, see my video camera. So when I moved out here, I sold all of my stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought I had transferred my, the little the little teeny cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I had transferred it to a DVD, but then it didn't work. So I lost all of that footage when I sold it. But I had to sell it to get here. So it's like, you know, give and take.
Yeah.
But
okay,
the stuff that I recorded on the PlayStation iToy, I have it on a VHS tape.
See, that's great. So, like, whenever they do a documentary about you, they have the footage.
Right. And something that's really cool that I'm, like, I'm never excited, but I'm excited about this. One of the tapes was me, my sister, and my cousin doing, like, Apollo. And I'm acting like I'm Steve. And I'm like, you got to rub the log. You got to rub the log. You got to rub the log. And I'm just so small. And we all doing our little talent show stuff as if it's Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
And the Blackening is premiering at the Apollo at Tribeca. So that's, like, a cool little moment.
That's like a nice full circle moment.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to make like a little video or something and I could put that part in it with, you know, us doing the Apollo.
That's really fucking cute.
Yeah.
Love that. So you did Vine for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like those little 30-second things on the little video game prepared you for Vine.
I was prepping for it.
What made you get into Vine? Were you like, I can make fucking videos?
Kind of. I had moved out here to act. I was out here for 2 years just doing student films where I met my fiance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did a lot of cool student films. I did a student film for Stephen Caple Jr., who's doing the new Transformers that's coming out. He did Creed 2. He did a short called The Land. It was no lines in it. I just wanted to work. And from there, he ended up doing a feature film that premiered at Sundance that he gave me a role in because I was, you know what I mean, we had built a connection on the first one. So it's like, I was on a lot of cool stuff, but it wasn't paying any money and I wasn't getting opportunities to do more reputable work. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get an agent because I didn't have those more reputable credits.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I got to figure out a way to market myself. And I guess that's where some of the marketing background came in. I was like, if I had an audience, I would be more valuable to a production and people would pay attention. And at the time, Vine was coming out. Vine had already been circulating for a couple months. I had no idea how to do it. I didn't even know the camera could flip around. I thought they were shooting the whole thing like backwards like this. I'm like, damn, like how they do that? I didn't know it was a point camera. I'm like, fuck it. I was so impressed by the most simplistic shit. But then I had, it was a girl I knew in Virginia. I had did a movie called Cleaver Family Reunion, low budget, like fake Roscoe Jenkins Welcome Home movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she had saw it and was like, dang, that's tight. I wish I could do stuff like that. And I was like, just do like Vine or something. Like, you could do that from your phone. And she started doing it and she was blowing up. Like, mm-hmm. she had got like 400,000 followers in a couple months. And I seen she had did a Klondike post and she told me they paid her $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was handing out drinks and stuff in front of the stores. I had three roommates in a four roommates in a two-bedroom apartment with no central air, hot as shit in the summertime. We had to leave the house. I was like, man, if I get $7,000 for doing this and I could build an audience, like this, you know.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of approached it like a business. I started storyboarding ideas because it was only 7 seconds and you got to shoot it straight. It's not like you come edit later.
Mm-hmm.
You got to shoot it within
the
app.
Yeah, it's not like TikTok where you can edit in the app. It's just like you had to.
Editing equipment. Uh-huh. It was you shoot and then you got to stop when you want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Record when you want to, you know what I mean? So it was like, it was kind of hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let me storyboard it so I'm more equipped coming into it instead of trying to wing it on the spot. Each second is allotted for it. And I wrote out like 20 ideas just based off of what I saw winning. Because I never did comedy. I wasn't like a class clown. Like I said, I kind of stayed to myself. So I just kind of studied what was working on the app and kind of learned the rules of comedy, what works, why it works. And I just kind of, from there, just incorporated stuff that I found funny or things that I knew into it, creating content.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, from the first video, it kind of was just moving. My first video was on Worldstar, and then it kind of just gave traction to everything else I posted. And then from there, it was just, you know, continued with the momentum.
I like that you said that you, like, thought it out. I feel like a lot of people, start like, when they're like, oh, I want to create content, they don't think.
Yeah,
they're not
they
like
just do shit.
They just do things and like get lucky. Yeah. But it's like if you go in with a plan, and then like I like that you said you storyboard it, because I'm a visual person, so like that's how I see things and it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I like directed a short and I had to like the cinematographer was like, you don't need to storyboard it. It's not long enough. And I was like, I think in order to get the shots I want to get, I need to draw it all out. But yeah, I love that. And I love that you were like, what's funny? How is it funny? It's just, it's very calculated.
Yeah, I'm very methodical. With I'm a Virgo, so I'm like.
When is your birthday?
September
22nd.
That's my, I shouldn't say it. That's my fake birthday. It's not my real birthday.
Why do you have a fake birthday?
It just happened and I let it go. My real birthday is not that day.
You don't have to say it.
I'm not going to say it.
We can keep the facade.
Yeah, so when people hit me on my real birthday, I know like these
you
are the people
real
that
friend.
These are the people that really know me, so I'm not getting flooded with a lot of just incoming stuff. And then on that day, you know, I still respond to it, but it's just it's keeping my personal life and my public life separate.
I love that. My
and I
real
didn't do
birthday.
It on purpose. It just happened
it just
and
happened.
I let it happen. Yeah.
That's very funny. Wait, but you're, wait, September 20th, I'm a Virgo.
I'm within a 3-day,
sure.
You know what I mean, of that, okay. So yeah.
I'm an August Virgo.
Okay, what day?
August 29th, and that's okay. The real day.
Okay.
The internet got it, don't know how.
Yeah, you know, it happens most of the time they get the right day. Yeah. I was one of the lucky ones.
Very lucky, I would love to have the wrong birthday out.
Yeah.
Have like a little bit of mystery, again, I have no mystery, I just put everything out there. So, okay, you like doing your own renovations.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into that?
So, in 2015-ish, 16-ish, social media was going good, but I was like, mm-hmm. I gotta scale out. I gotta be bigger. And okay. At the time, Facebook had incentives to create shows, and Quibi was coming out.
R.I.P.
Right. And it was just like a lot of different, like Awesomeness was doing shows. And I was like, how can I scale out? I wanna do shows. I wanna produce stuff and rather than just being stuff. So I got this production studio. Well, it was a warehouse.
Okay.
It was going to serve as my production studio, but it was just empty. And I was like, I need offices and stuff. And I priced it, and it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who would do my sound for me, his name's James, he knows how to do it. He's like this country boy who like flies planes, like he just does everything. And he was like, oh, I could help you do it. And he showed me the basics. And he's good, but he moves really slow. So I was like, just show me how to do it, and I'm going to do it.
And I'll just fucking
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, so between him, I had moved my nephew out here, who was my camera guy. Him, my nephew, and myself, we just built, like, we built offices, we built sets, like, kind of innovated ways where we got rolling sets where you can move them around, like hair, makeup, offices, build all this stuff within this warehouse. So through that, I learned all of the basics of building, like framing and, you know, drywall and insulation and, you know, some electrical stuff. And I used to do electrical with my dad when I was little, so I kind of had a slight understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything that I didn't know, I just ran to YouTube and, you know, you could see everything. You can learn anything.
Yeah, you can learn truly anything.
YouTube University. So, yeah, during the pandemic, I just bought a house. Then during the pandemic, you know, you just got a lot of time on your hands. And I was like, cool, let me do some of the things we wanted to do to the house. So myself and my fiance, she would help me with most of the stuff. And she's very hands-on and handy, too. We would just, you know, we just kind of went to work and that stuff kind of.
So, like, what did you renovate? Like, the kitchen, the bathrooms?
It wasn't a typical renovation. It was more so just, like, carpentry. So, we built a deck, like a floating deck outside
of
our bedroom.
Okay.
We redid the entire backyard. Excuse me. It was just, like, gravel. So we got rid of all of the gravel, irrigation. We didn't do the irrigation, even though I learned so I could fix stuff that messed up. But yeah, laid down sod. We did a garden. She built garden beds, put together a playset for the kid in the back, built a basketball court. I built like this. It was like a little, it's for drainage, but it was like plants and stuff like in the center of the concrete in the backyard. And I made it like a dinosaur garden and built like a waterfall.
What's a dinosaur garden? You said that so casually.
I know. I think I kind of just made it up. But it's like I bought these big aluminum dinosaurs that stand like
I love that.
15 feet tall. Uh-huh. And then I just planted a lot of tropical plants and like big rocks and just made it look like
That's
Jurassic
great.
Park with a little waterfall. And I built a theater, which was like one of my most popular renovations. Mm-hmm. I had like a game room over top of the gym, built a theater, turned the garage to a gym. I built a wall in the garage just to kind of separate like my tools and stuff mm-hmm. from the actual gym. So just like stuff like that.
I love that you're like, oh, it's just not a typical renovation. I did the... You did so fucking much.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, oh, redo the kitchen, pull out the towels, and you know what
yeah,
I mean? It wasn't that
still,
type of renovation.
You built shit. Like,
yeah,
that's wild.
It was builds. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wish.
Fun. It was therapeutic.
I'm not good at anything. I tried painting a door, and I didn't even finish.
It takes patience. Like,
I don't
have
patience.
The other thing we was talking about.
I know.
But the thing, too, with I don't have a lot of patience either. The thing with, like, building... You have to have patience. Like mm-hmm. you're forced to have patience. And it's kind of just like a metaphor for life. You build a foundation, it's, you know, to stay around. You just look at step by step. Like Will Smith said in his book, you don't look at the entire wall. You look at brick by brick. Franklin Saint said in The Snowfall, brick by brick. You just look at, this nail, this screw into this plank of wood. And, you know, you take a step back later on, you see what you built. So it's therapeutic.
I wish I had the patience.
You could do it. You could do it. I know you can.
Melvin, thank you for believing in me. Can I ask you a
you
question?
Built this.
I didn't build this studio.
Not physically, but you know, you built your brand. You built what we're here doing.
That's nice. Thank you. I guess I did have patience with that.
Mm-hmm.
How did you propose to your girlfriend or your now fiance?
Yeah, the way I did it was so she had a Mother's Day before she gave birth to my son, right? But she was mm-hmm. still pregnant. And I guess this is something that's up for debate still. I was like, you're not a mother yet. But a lot of mothers may disagree with me. That was my ignorance
Wait,
at the point.
She wasn't a mother yet because she hadn't had the child?
She hadn't delivered the baby. This is how I saw it at the time.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? I don't know.
You know, I don't want to stand on it. I'm not going to stand on that because
okay.
there's some people.
I'm not standing on it either.
Yeah.
We have our own thoughts.
It was a misthought or whatever it was, uh-huh. but I didn't get her anything for Mother's Day. My son hadn't been born yet.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next Mother's Day, I was like, cool, I'm going to do the proposal. Now,
mm-hmm.
so I told her we're going to get some food and then go get a massage and then no, we're going to go get a massage and go get dinner, something like that. Some lie I told her. So,
scamming.
We left the house and she was like, I really don't want to get a massage because I put on my makeup and I'm going to have to lay down on my face and
mm-hmm.
let's just go to the mall because I got to get something for my mom for Mother's Day. I'm like, whatever. All right, cool. Not whatever, but cool.
Yeah.
So. Went to the mall and I'm trying to kill time because I have a event planner setting up the whole backyard. Like the backyard we had just renovated, we mm-hmm. just planted ferns all over the yard. So I was just stalling all time. So it was time to go to dinner and I never drive. Like I never drive when we're together. She always drives. I was like, oh, let me drive. She was like, all right, whatever. So we're going and I'm just driving all in circles, trying to just drive to places
like,
she don't recognize to just kill time and tell her we're going to this dinner. And I'm taking these back roads to come back. And then when I find out, like, all right, cool, I could get back to the house, I circle back around and now I'm like 3 blocks away from the house. She was like, wait, we're by the house. And I just put on this performance. I was like, just kind of like eat myself up, like mm-hmm. I fucked up. Like, she was like, did you put the address to the house here? And I'm just kind of like, just soaking in it. And she was mm-hmm. like, it's okay. And I'm like, no, I keep fucking up. Like, just to the point where like, I don't know what to say, so I'm not saying that. But uh-huh. just acting, just, she's like, it's fine. It don't matter as long as we're together. Like, we could just go home, get comfortable, go get a drink. Like, it doesn't matter. Stop mm-hmm. tripping. And I'm like tearing up. Like, I'm fucking up. Like,
you're
you know
like
what
going
I mean? Yeah,
for
yeah.
the Oscar.
Yeah, right. At okay. this point, I'm in it.
Putting on your Meryl Streep, your right. Viola Davis, you and your bag.
So we get back to the house and she see the gate is open. We have a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, oh shit, who left the gate open? The dog probably ran out. So she like jumped out and she go around the back of the house. And when she gets around, she sees like, I had like 11 foot like LED screen set mm-hmm. up and like lights everywhere. And it was just like, it was beautiful. And it was like a table set up and she was vegan at the time. And
mm-hmm.
we had a chef come and like make us, the food was like the best vegan food I've had. And we watched Fern Gully. And at the end of
it's one of my favorite fucking movies.
I hadn't seen it, and she was telling me how great it was.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, and I won't say like she's a hippie, but she's like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. She's and a like, vegan. Yeah, you said yeah. it. And, I get it. A little crunchy.
And she, like I said, we had just planted like tropical plants all mm-hmm. over the yard with the ferns and all of this stuff. And at the end of the movie, I shot a little video, which was kind of like a montage of like all our moments, like, you know, through having a kid from, you know, first day and just all of our moments. And then at the end of it, it was my son holding like the ring in like a box and just playing with it. And then I proposed then.
That is honestly the sweetest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Thank you.
That's truly what I want. Like, I want to be someone's like favorite person that they do all that for.
Yeah.
Like, I've never dated anyone where I was like, oh, this is in the cards. Like, you're going to do this for me. God, Melvin, that's nice.
But you want
nice.
That person to be your favorite person, too. You don't want to just
yes.
rush. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
that's why.
I want it to be mutual.
I feel like marriage, if you do it right, you want it to be the perfect situation. That's why I never had a girlfriend before, because mm-hmm. I was like, this isn't the perfect situation. I don't want to just settle for something that's cool, because I might miss out on what it is that's perfect. And if I want it to last forever, it can't be like, there is some compromise you got to make, but the closest mm-hmm. I can get that I'm happy with. So it's like, you'd rather be patient and wait for what's perfect for you and perfect for that person than to like rush something and then be divorced and lost 6 years of your life
mm-hmm.
where you could have been having fun and enjoying yourself or working or building your brands and stuff like that. So
I just got to be the orange I'm meant to be.
Or the apple until you grow into that orange. Don't even be an apple, you know, just be whatever you want to be.
I'll be a tangerine that grows into a mandarin orange.
Because mm-hmm.
I think that's bigger than a tangerine.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't even know what a clement. What are those little cuties? Those
I
are
think
the best.
A cutie is a clementine?
Is it?
Rich, do you know?
I think so. Pretty sure that's right.
I think clementines got seeds and cuties don't. They're like hybrids or something.
I think they are hybrids, but a tangerine, I think a clementine is sweeter than a tangerine. I do love those little cuties.
They're tart, like tangy, and slightly sweet clementines.
Okay.
From the cuties, at least.
Yeah, that's like
they
my...
are. They're good.
I don't even want to say guilty pleasure. It's just a pleasure.
It's just a pleasure of mine, too. And I'm not an orange girl. I don't like big oranges, but I love me a little cutie.
A little cutie.
Ooh,
perfect
ooh.
Name for them.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did I take the second break?
No.
We're going to take that second break.
Take the second break.
Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Melvin, we're back. Okay, Melvin, do you have any advice for me, a single woman living in this world?
Be genuine to who you are.
I'm pretty genuine to who I am.
And that's the way to do it. So the person you attract is a person that's genuinely attracted. You don't want to be like the hair salon stuff I was selling. Well, you're selling something that ain't really what it is. Mm-hmm. And then they get to the salon and it's like, I don't know what this is.
They get to my house and like, who the fuck is you?
Who the fuck is this?
I'm sorry, I'm weirder than you thought.
Yeah, you got to be your most authentically self. Your most authentic self. Okay. Unapologetically.
And
you'll attract the right guy. And you know when you know.
What's a good way to approach a person in public? I'm trying to go out more and talk to people more.
Yeah, I wasn't the best approach guy. A lot of times I kind of just wouldn't. Cause like it's kind of weird just approaching somebody you don't know. But from my experiences, when people approach me, that I respond well to, it's not necessarily like to talk to you or anything. It's just like when somebody's like genuine and they come up, mm-hmm. and it's not like they kind of contrived these questions they want to ask. And it's just like, you know, if somebody for whatever reason want to talk to you, they come and do that. And then if the conversation just blossoms from there, great. If it mm-hmm. doesn't, then, you know, you guys might not have that type of chemistry. But like when I've seen people come to me and they're just kind of genuine, like, yo, for whatever reason they came to me, and we'll just have like a regular conversation, and the conversation doesn't have ulterior motives, or it's like they don't have subtext to their questions. It just feels like a one-on-one human connection. That's the type of interactions I respond better to. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that other people will respond well to those as well.
All right. So if I find someone attractive, I should just talk to them just to see if they're a nice person and not hold too much stake in like, they may be my person.
Right. Yeah. Because you're not going to know from the first interaction. And you don't have to close. I think a lot of pressure from talking to people is closing on like, oh, what's your number? What's your Instagram? Like one thing when I would talk to people, I just wouldn't ask for that stuff. Like, you know, I would just have a conversation, meet them, they meet me, and Hollywood is small. You're going to run into the same people again. Mm-hmm. Or, like, social media, you will run into them again. You know, I wouldn't go stalk them right afterwards, but, you know, follow them if you see them. Mm-hmm. Or, Instagram is kind of easy now. You can ask somebody what their Instagram is and keep that and kind of build a rapport through just casual convo. Not casual convo, but, like, commenting on stories and stuff, not just sending weird eyes and shit, but just like, you see it's something they interested in. Like if they surf, like, oh, that's tight. You know what I mean? Just it's genuine. Like,
look at this surf video I found. Yeah. Okay. All right. I guess I can do that. Melvin, before we end, do you want to talk a little bit about The Blackening and what it's about?
Sure. I'm bad at, well, this isn't self-promotion. So The Blackening, it's probably the realest horror movie you will see. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, it's going to be like a scary movie. It's not at all. You know what I mean? Nobody's playing for comedy. It's just like, it's those moments that you have watching horror movies where you're screaming at the screen. The people on screen are actually screaming the same shit you're screaming. So it's just like, that's where the comedy comes from. The comedy comes from relatability. Like, everybody who will watch this movie, like, there's going to be a character that you can relate to. You're not watching a lot of like dimwits just run around scrambling to survive and doing the dumbest shit ever. Like, these people really want to survive, which I feel like is a metaphor to Black people. Like, you know, we grow up, we got to survive in America. It's not to go political, but it's like, you know what I mean? It's a different America. We survivalists. Mm-hmm. And in this film, you see us pull out all of these, you know, survivalist skills as far as, you know, this weapon makes more sense than that weapon, or like, why are we separating, or we're not going to run upstairs or lock the doors, or, oh, that sounds deceiving, I'm not listening to that guy. You know what I mean? Just kind of common sense things for us.
And it's friends who hadn't seen each other in a minute who end up going to a cabin.
Yep. So it's, thank you for redirecting me.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not even saying that, like, to be... Yeah, thank you. I'm genuinely saying thank you. So it's friends, college friends who haven't seen each other in a while. They get together for Juneteenth. They hang out at a cabin in the woods. That doesn't sound like the Blackest shit to do, but we got to get there for this movie to happen.
You got to get to the setting.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, we go to a cabin in the woods to just kind of have a good time and catch up. And lights go out and it's like, what the fuck? And then we discover this game, and it looks like some blackface weird shit, and the questions are like Black trivia in a sense. And then we're ultimately tasked with figure out who's the blackest based on these questions. And that person will be sacrificed to save the rest of us. And from there, it just kind of goes, it goes on a, you know, crazy roller coaster ride.
And it is a comedy. It was written by Dwayne Perkins, who is infinitely funny. I love him so much.
I love Dwayne so much, and it's satire in a sense because it's playing off of the tropes that are just like goofy. Those old goofy tropes. Hopefully this breeds a new genre of horror where shit makes sense, you know, where people actually want to survive. So yeah, it's a fun ride.
I like it because it's like in traditional horror movies, the black character dies first. Right. And then it's like, if it's an all-black cast, who dies first?
Who's going to die first? Right.
I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. That trope don't even make sense. Maybe they just, like, why would we die first?
We wouldn't.
We wouldn't die first.
We would run away. I went to a haunted house and I said, I won't. And right. I left. Or the one I did complete, every time a scary person came up to me, I said, hello, you're doing a great job. And you can't scare me now. We've talked.
Right. I think that was a way of like diversity, but get it in and get it out real quick. Like, get them in there, get them out.
Get them in, get them out. We only got it for a day.
Yeah, it's time. It's kind of changed that whole trope upside down. And I felt like we did it well on this. And
I'm excited
hopefully
to
we
see
set
it.
We set the bar for a new generation of horror films.
I hope so. I love horror. I think it's fun. It's freaky. It's scary. Mm-hmm. Melvin, I ask all of my guests this. I've forgotten it maybe like 4 times the whole time I've done this show. Would you date me?
I would. I would.
What a dream.
Yeah. You're very
Melvin, thank
pleasant.
You.
You are. I've been smiling. Look, count how many times I've been smiling in this interview. That's important.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been called pleasant. That's nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Melvin.
You're welcome.
Well, this is the end of this episode. If you liked it, you can rate it. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or whatever. If you write me something nasty hitting on me to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, my producer Mars, she reads them. No dick pics. Okay, this person said, everyone is so concerned with filling your pussy, but I want to strap on the biggest cock you can find, put a gag in my mouth, blast an episode of Why Won't You Date Me as loud as possible while you spank me with a spiky paddle and fuck me for hours, Melvin's face, until I can't walk anymore. When you're finished with me, I want you to hire a crew of furniture movies to throw me on the street to be picked up with the trash. Wow.
You can't date a person like that. What do you do with that afterwards? How do you have children with that person?
You're absolutely right. See? Also, I couldn't think of anything worse than listening to an episode of my own podcast while having sex.
That's like another level of narcissism. That person's a rotten apple.
Melvin, I love how much you disliked that. Like, it really brings me joy.
Because you're so pleasant in that. Why would they say such a thing to you?
Because I ask for it. I say, send me something nasty.
Oh, I guess.
Okay, bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girlie?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Yes. Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinner's on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.